Sask Ag Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Ag Today. Coming up on today's program, Manitoba Agriculture has issued their first crop report of 2024. We'll hear from Amir Farouk, a crop protection extension specialist from Brandon. We'll also hear from James Fry, who is from Roblin, and he's a crop extension specialist there as well. As you heard yesterday, Innovation Saskatchewan is investing $170,000 in two industry-led research and development technologies through the Saskatchewan Advantage Innovation Fund and the AgTech Growth Fund. Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt will join us to talk about those announcements. May is now here, and farmers will start their spring seeding sooner rather than later. Retired Yorkton agrologist Tom Weir says there's benefits to starting seeding early, but risks as well. He'll go over those. And, of course, it's week two of the spring edition of GX94 Supper in the Field. We had 166 entries this week, and we will find out who our lucky winner is coming up on today's program. So all of those stories and much more on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. Manitoba Agriculture has issued their first crop report of 2024. Seeding progress across the province has just begun, with about 2% of the acres being seeded. Producers have begun seeding spring wheat, barley, oats, and corn. The central region is most advanced, with about 10% of each of the major cereals planted. Corn planting is about 1% complete. Amir Farouk is a crop protection extension specialist from Brandon, and he covers the southwest region of the province.
Southwest area, mostly like south of number one highway, we have some producers who started some cereals and some peas. And also there are some producers in north side of number one highway close to Hamiota Rivers in that area and Miniota. There are some few producers also started some seeding. But most of the part, it's very like minor seeding happened, close to 1 or 2% overall. But most of producers are still waiting because we have some rains. And even today, there are some rain is happening right now in Brandon area. So hopefully when the fields will be dry, so a producer will be going with full strength.
He gives an update on how winter cereals are doing.
Winter cereals, mostly fall rye and winter wheat, they are looking very good and coming along, and mostly very little winter kill happened this year. Even we did not have much snow cover, but still we have a very, right now it's looking very good. And producers are planning for the fertilization.
Farouk notes pastures and hay fields are just starting to come out of dormancy in southwest Manitoba.
Yeah, exactly. But their growth is a little slow because of this cold weather. So we still have some, there were good days, but there are some, like in the nighttime, we have still some areas we have below zero temperature. So their recovery is slow, but it's coming along. So fields are looking green, so it's coming along.
So he says many cattle still need to be given winter feed.
Yeah, I think maybe we need some still some good temperature and moisture in next 1 or 2 weeks. So then I think producers will bring their cattle out to the pastures.
Farouk says dugout levels are looking great right now.
Dugouts at this stage mostly at their optimum level, and they are close to 80 to 90% at their full capacity. So because just snow melted, and at this stage we are in good shape for as a water point of view.
And he had these final comments.
Hopefully we have a good weather conditions in next week, and we should have a lot of people in the field, and more seeding will happen.
Amir Farouk is a crops extension specialist from Brandon, and he covers the southwest region of the province. Meanwhile, in northwest Manitoba, a week of warmer, drying weather led to an improvement in field conditions there. James Fry is the applied research specialist for Manitoba Agriculture, based in Roblin.
Yeah, things are looking really good as a start for the season. We've had a little bit of drier weather in the period leading up to the first crop report here. So, we see somewhere between about half an inch fell in the amaranth area, and there's a bunch of locations where there's been no moisture at all, which has been good because that's allowed field conditions to dry up a bit after that. The last of the snow receded a few weeks ago, and probably still some potholes sitting out in quite a number of the fields. So those are yet to dry up, but of course, it's raining here today, but I imagine that with the field conditions being the way they are, a lot of people are going to be out pretty quick.
He doesn't believe there's been much seeding done in his area.
I think in this region, there's probably been mostly pre-work. There may have been someone who was able to get out and do a specific field, but generally speaking, most fields have just enough moisture in the bottom lands that maybe those that the whole field wouldn't be workable yet. I know in some other parts of the province, there has been a very little bit of peas that have been seeded yet. So it's possible that as we go farther east, maybe towards Dauphin, that some field work has begun already. But in our, closer to Saskatchewan, none that I know of.
Fry says winter cereal conditions in the northwest region are varied.
Generally speaking, they've done very well. There's a few reports from a bit north of me, closer to Swan River, that some fields which did not receive adequate snow cover earlier in the season may have had a little more winter kill. But in our area, we actually saw kind of ideal overwintering conditions. So what that would look like is a nice hard snap in the fall as the crop would be kind of needing to get that cold snap, and that basically shuts the plant down. We saw that, of course, at that tail end of October when we had that kind of surprising snap of minus 25 or minus 30. And then that was followed by pretty decent snow cover most of the winter in and around our area. So that pretty much means that winter kill should be at a minimum. I imagine that most producers would, if they're going to see some winter kill at all in their, or I should say some kill at all in their crops, it's probably going to be more due to standing water than it would have been from winter conditions.
As for cattle, he says most haven't been able to be turned out to pastures just yet.
Yeah, I have heard that a few people are looking at doing that coming up. But like you say, there's probably pretty minimal activity going on just because those, it's been a little cool yet. So the plants haven't necessarily greened up yet. And, if it's possible for producers to hold off, I know it's, everyone's always very eager to get them out of the yard, and winter feeding supplies may be low, but there are some good reasons to give your pasture as much time in the spring as possible to rebound and get that early season growth before you go and chew it all down to the ground again.
James Fry is the applied research specialist for Manitoba Agriculture, based in Roblin. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
Seeding has already started in parts of Saskatchewan, while many areas are still waiting on more moisture, according to the province's pulse specialist. Dale Rizzula says most of Saskatchewan is on the drier side, although not every area is struggling with a lack of moisture. He adds that most parts of the province are set to start seeding in the coming weeks if they haven't already. Rizzula says planting season in Saskatchewan typically begins in the southwest corner of the province, with areas north and east soon to follow. He adds that peas and chickpeas are usually some of the first crops in the ground due to their ability to withstand early spring frosts. Rizzulla believes lentil acres will go up, but seeded area for chickpeas will be steady to higher, and those for dry peas will be lower. Warmer than normal temperatures are expected across most of Canada over the next 3 months. That's according to the latest long-range seasonal forecast from Environment and Climate Change Canada as of yesterday. The government agency called for a 40 to 60% chance of above normal temperatures from May through July across most of the three prairie provinces, with only a small area of southern Alberta forecast to see normal temperatures. Precipitation is expected to be normal across most of the agricultural areas of the country during the period, aside from parts of south-central Alberta, where there's a probability of above-normal precipitation. Central British Columbia and most of Labrador also have a chance of experiencing above-normal precipitation, while the far north of Saskatchewan and Alberta could be on the dry side. Canada's Auditor General was highly critical of the federal government's efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in agriculture in an independent report released yesterday. The audit found Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, or AAFC, has failed to design, implement, and then track plans for how the agriculture sector will contribute to Canada's 2030 and 2050 greenhouse gas reduction commitments. The report cites many shortcomings, including a lack of clear targets, poor data collection, program delays, and incomplete verification and monitoring. The review specifically looked at the rollout and results of three programs launched in 2021, the Living Labs program, the On-Farm Climate Action Fund, and the Agricultural Clean Technology program. Altogether, more than $1.5 billion in federal funding has been earmarked for these three programs. The audit also assessed AAFC's work toward reaching the government's fertilizer and methane emissions reduction targets. Ole Mills Poultry and Pork Processing Facility at Saint-Jean-sur-Richelieu, Quebec, will be shuttered this summer. The decision comes against a backdrop of falling production volumes, which has led the plant to operate at only 40% of its operational capacity. Operations at the plant will be redeployed to other Ole Mill facilities. The closure will affect 135 employees, including 30 temporary foreign workers. The company says workers would be given the option to relocate to neighboring plants. Ole Mill has seen a spate of losses in recent years. It dialed back hog production in Alberta and Saskatchewan last year and closed several processing plants in Ontario and Quebec. Earlier this year, Ole Mill's parent company, Solio Cooperative Group, said it was back in the black after 2023's losses, with Ole Mill posting a surplus of $138.3 million after a loss of $446.1 million in 2022. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will test ground beef for bird flu particles, although officials say they're confident America's meat supply is safe.
Bird flu has been found in nearly three dozen dairy herds across nine states. The new testing is the latest effort by the government to track and understand how the virus is spreading among livestock. A week ago, the USDA confirmed it found non-infectious remnants of the bird flu virus in pasteurized milk. Scientists say there's no evidence to suggest people can get bird flu by consuming food that's been pasteurized or properly cooked. I'm Shelley Adler.
And that's today's AgriView. SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will continue right after these messages. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. We have light rain and 4 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. It's time now for the livestock market conditions, and they're a presentation of Langenberg Motors.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 173.85 today. That's down 112. August live cattle closed at 171.10, down 2 full cents. August feeder cattle closed at 251.75, down 3.75. September feeder cattle closed at 252.60, down 3.87. June lean hogs closed at 100.42, that's down 205. July lean hogs closed at 103.62, down 180. And that's the livestock market conditions. May is now here, and farmers will start their spring seeding sooner rather than later. Retired Yorkton agrologist Tom Weir says there's benefits to starting seeding early, but risks as well.
I've had a couple of guys ask me, is it too early to start seeding? And actually, I know of a couple of farmers in this area that have actually started putting in their pulse crops. So, yeah, so I thought it's a good time to maybe talk about that whole aspect of things. So one of the things that I say to producers, what would you do to increase your yield by 5%? And such things as adding more fertilizer, maybe switching varieties, and there's various other things, putting on a fungicide or something like that. But what I then go ask them and say, would you be interested in something you can do that doesn't cost you a penny? And that is seeding earlier. There's been a lot of research done on this going back 25, 30 years ago, and it all comes up with the same result, and that is that depending on the crop, and they're pretty consistent, you get about a 1.5% or a 2% yield bump for every day that you seed earlier after about the optimum time of seeding. So we'll get into that in a bit. But so you think about that, if it's 1.5%, 3 days, seeding 3 days earlier, gained you almost 5% in yield, and it hasn't cost you a penny. This area, I would say, is an area that has resisted seeding early for various reasons, some of them valid, waiting till potholes drain, but some of them, I think, are a historic, we're not going to seed early. I've heard guys tell me stories, my dad said, you don't get out and seed until you can sit bare-assed on the ground and so it's warm. I can remember when I, 35 years ago, guys tended not to seed much before Mother's Day, and or even more before the long weekend in May. So we've progressed, but I still think there's opportunities in a year like this to get out and seed just that couple of days earlier and capitalize on some of those, this yield opportunity. Soil temperatures, they're 3 degrees, what I saw in doing some measurements, 2, 3, 4 degrees. So that's a temperature at which most of our crops will germinate. If we take a look at something like field peas, in around that 2 to 3 degrees, wheat 2 to 3 degrees, 3 to 5 for canola. So we're in the temperature where germination will take place. I guess the thing is, planting at this temperature, if the temperature doesn't warm, it's going to take quite a while. I remember back a few years ago, a grower planted some wheat in April, and it took 3 weeks for that wheat to emerge. because it turned cool and didn't warm up the way it maybe normally would have. But on the other hand, he said at the end of the day, it stooled out quite a bit more, and it out-yielded his wheat that he planted a couple of weeks, 3 weeks later. So there are some opportunities. And what I'm seeing right now is the sloughs have pretty well dried up, so I don't think that will be a major consideration. So the benefits, including the yield increase, and that information comes from a number of studies and a number of data reviews of crop insurance numbers. And it doesn't matter if we're talking Saskatchewan, if we're talking Alberta, or we're talking Manitoba, the results are all about the same, between 1.5% and 2% a day. As I mentioned earlier, I said the optimum seeding date. So when is that? It probably changes every year, but from my notes and observations for 30-some years in this area, it probably corresponds pretty closely to the leafing out of the native aspens. So when those aspens start, the leaves start to come out, that is probably, you know, 3 or 4 days before and after is probably that optimum time. And just looking at some aspens yesterday, the buds are swelling, so we're getting close to that. Now, the other thing is, if that's the optimum time, we probably want to start a little earlier and get some planted. We don't see a major fall off of yield seeding earlier, but we do after you've passed that optimum stage. So that's the fact of when you should start seeding, and now it's probably right around that time. Some of the reasons why researchers have indicated why they think the yield comes up or goes down at later seeding is that, first of all, the crop's making use of all the available moisture. Oftentimes we get some hot, dry winds in May that'll dry out the soil. If you've got the crop using it already, it makes use of it. You miss the heat stress of July, often at flowering time of the crops, and so with climate change, we're seeing more heat in July, so that's another reason we see this yield bump. We might avoid some disease impact, and with there I'm thinking of fusarium. If we're earlier and getting our plants, our crops flowering earlier, we may miss that. Weed control, seeding early, you might get ahead of weeds and the impact will be less, although one of the risks is in weed control. You may not get the burn-off that you normally would, to the point where if you're seeding wheat or peas or lentils, you might seed them a little bit deeper than you normally would, which is kind of counterintuitive. But that way it gives you a little bit more time to have the weeds emerge, do a burn-off prior post-seeding but pre-emergence. And the other thing I'll say with weed control, at that point, you may want to mix in a residual product. I'm thinking Express Pro or something like that in the or pre-pass in the wheat, or something like I know a lot of growers in this area are now they do a burn off on their peas. They're putting Pursuit product in there at about a 2/3 rate to give you residual on the weed control. So those are the advantages, basically, I think, of seeding early. You can avoid some risks at the fall. If you get that crop in earlier, you're going to get it off in that really good weather in August. So, early seeding, I think, makes sense. But there are risks involved with it. Frost, I guess that's the number one thing that comes to mind. May frost and the crops up can cause big-time issues, so choosing the crop is important. I think peas, lentils are a couple that work out really good for early seeding, and wheat does. Oats, there's been a lot of research done at Indian Head on oats, and it shows, and some of the work was done locally, shows that the chances of getting a higher test weight go up by seeding early. And as far as wild oats are concerned, if you can get that oats up and growing well, they're ahead of the wild oats and can outcompete them significantly. The other crop is malt barley. There's a lot of numbers that indicate early seeding increases plumpness of the kernel and also reduces protein, which are both desirable characteristics for malting. So that is basically, I guess, the story. I would avoid seeding maybe canola for a couple weeks because of the risk of frost. Canola, the growing point is above ground, so when the frost, if a frost occurs, kills the plant, it's dead. Whereas peas, wheat, barley, oats are able to grow from, in peas case, they have nodes below the ground that will regrow. And for the cereal crops, their crown is below the ground, so they can freeze back to the soil surface and still regrow.
Weir notes that big farmers tend to seed earlier because of the vast number of acres they have to get into the ground.
Their expectations, I was involved in some research about, I guess, 15 years ago now, and growers, large growers, were specifically surveyed. And their expectations, just about every one of them, was to have their crop seeded in 2 weeks. So that is, as you say, large acres and trying to get it in a short period of time. So if you run into a scenario like this spring that you're able to go, they're going to be going out there and getting some acres in the ground. And, you know, as I say, ideally, I think, if you're trying to get things seeded in a 3 week window, I would say try and get a third of it in the week prior to the optimum seeding, a week at the optimum seeding time, and then a week after would probably be ideal for yield and quality.
He adds that climate change has left prairie farmers with a longer growing window.
Yeah, and you know, everything I've seen indicates that seeding early will give you a earlier crop in the fall. And it's sure nice to harvest in August. When I was involved years ago in research, we used to estimate about a 2.5% moisture dry down a day in August. That went back to about a percent and a half in early September and a percent moisture dry down in late September. So it's sure nice to be out there combining in on the 20th of August.
That's Tom Weir. He is a retired agrologist based in Yorkton. Please stay tuned. Your commodities update is coming up in 1 minute's time.
Commodities update.
Canola futures closed up across the board today. July canola closed at $625.70. That's up $7.70. November canola closed at $642.60, up $7.60. July Minneapolis wheat closed at $7.02 and a quarter, down 2 cents. July Kansas City wheat closed at $6.25 per bushel, down 10 and a quarter cents. July Chicago wheat closed at $5.99 and a quarter, down 4 cents. July corn closed at $4.50 and three quarters, that's up 4 cents. July soybeans closed at $11.70 and a quarter, up 7 and a quarter cents. July oats closed at $3.77 and a half. That's up 8 cents. And that's the commodities update. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will return right after these messages. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. It's week 2 of the spring edition of GX94 Supper in the Field. Once again, we'll be taking out supper for 8 weeks in the spring and 8 weeks in the fall. We had 166 entries this week, and I phoned our lucky winner this morning.
Hello?
Good morning. Is this Glenn?
It is.
Glenn, it's Doug Falconer calling from GX94 Radio in Yorkton. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. The reason I was calling is we drew your name this morning for Supper in the Field.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
It's raining here in Yorkton. How about out your way?
Well, it's not raining here yet, but the forecast is for rain, yeah, okay, later on, I think.
So you might not be in the field, but could we bring you out some supper anyway?
Sure.
Our winner of this week's GX94 Supper in the Field is Glenn Hall of the Wishart District. Our sponsors this spring are Gowan Canada, Farm Credit Canada, Yorkton Auction Center, Maple Ag and Outdoors, LDC, Milligan Bio, Sask Milk, Jump.ca, Fun Motorsports, Future Ford, Smith Steel, Legacy Co-op. Our food sponsor is Taps Sports Lounge and Grill in Yorkton, and our beverage sponsor is Great Western Original 16.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission is hosting a summer classic, AI in Agriculture. It's coming up on June 19th at the Canada's Farm Show in Regina, and lunch will be provided. They will have an update on Sask Wheat activities and business from Board Chair Jake Legui, a delicious lunch provided, and two exciting and knowledgeable speakers to enjoy. The guest speakers are Dr. Steve Shurtleff, a professor at the University of Saskatchewan College of Agriculture and Bioresources, as well as Walter Schwab with EchoPoint Corporation. So the agenda starts at 10 o'clock that morning on June 19th with the registration, and then there will be a Sask Wheat presentation with Jake Legui at 10:30, and then Dr. Steve Shurtleff will have something on the UAV ground and satellite imagery starting at 10:45. Then there will be a break for lunch at 12:15, a responsible AI with Walter Schwab, and then at 1:15 it'll be a networking and wrap-up session. So that's coming up on June 19th at Canada's Farm Show in Regina. You can register at the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission website. And that's all the time we have for today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 Precision Weather Forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, a 90% chance of light rain, winds east-northeast at 15 to 30, and a high of 6 degrees. For tonight, a 40% chance of showers ending as the evening progresses, winds west-northwest at 10 to 20, a low of 0. For tomorrow, partly cloudy with a 60% chance of late day showers, winds east-northeast at 15 to 25, a high of 11, an overnight low of 2. For Friday, cloudy with an 80% chance of showers, winds northwest at 15 to 25, and a high of 7. For Saturday, mainly cloudy, a high of 11, and Sunday, partly sunny, a high of 16. In the Paw, it's 5 degrees, Swan River is at 2, Dauphin 4, Brandon 8, Show Lake Russell 6, Roblin 3. Regina and Hudson Bay are at 3 degrees, Saskatoon, Broadview, Mooseman 6, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 4. The Yorkton Melville region has light rain, an east wind at 18 kilometers an hour. 88% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 4 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for Sask Ag Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.